Welcome to Women in the Middle Entrepreneurs, the podcast that gives you an unfiltered behind-the-scenes look at what it's really like being a woman in the middle who's over 50 and following her entrepreneurial dreams. Grab a superhero cape, girlfriend, because you deserve one. I'm your host, Master Certified Life Coach and Midlife Mentor, Susie Rosenstein, and I am excited to inspire you with interviews that feature all of this midlife amazingness. Let's go. Hi there. Welcome back to the show. We have a really exciting interview ahead of us today about being busy and navigating retirement options. Today, you'll be meeting Kathleen Kruger, a woman in the middle entrepreneur who went from bookkeeping to a successful writing career and is now working on being intentional about how to transition into her next phase of life. Welcome to the show, Kathleen. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, Susie. Good to be here.
I am so glad you're here. We made a little joke that we're both sick of the weather and we want the weather to get better. So we're going to cross our fingers about that. Now, I know we're going to have a great conversation about your midlife entrepreneurial journey. We'll be talking about your business, what's going really well, and also what midlife issues might be getting in your way to some extent and might be challenging for you in your life as well as being a business owner. So let's kick things off with my favorite questions. How old are you? How long have you been an entrepreneur? And some details about your entrepreneurial journey and business. So take it away.
Yes, the question that people have always said women don't want to answer, how old are you? But
around here, we love it. We love it.
I'm 66.
Woohoo!
And I became an entrepreneur at 54 when I actually officially quit my job and went on my own as a freelancer. That I'd always wanted to do, to have the flexibility of working on my own, working from home particularly. And I had been a bookkeeper in the construction industry for over 20 years. I liked what I did. I'd even tried a couple times to see if I could start a bookkeeping business on my own. That was hard to do without actually leaving my job and working on it to do that. So that didn't happen. But in 2009, I began doing some writing, more creative writing, writing poetry, actually, and got connected with the writing world. And I found them very supportive, and I discovered that some of them were actually trying to make some money writing words.
What a shock when you're so, you know, working, doing what you're doing in a completely different part of the world with completely different people. And then you venture out and what do you know? Yeah. Look what's going on here. Big surprise.
You know, if you're not connected in freelance writing, you think of writers as authors or maybe journalists. That's our connection generally with writing. But I discovered there's, you know, there's all different types of writing out there. There are people who like the news and the journalistic area, but there are also those who like to write recipes, those who write technical manuals, people who write articles on whatever it is that their area of expertise is. And so I decided I would start looking into this and see what the opportunities actually were and if there was some way I could use my writing skills to create an income.
Now, right away, I'm thinking, okay, you've been a bookkeeper. Bookkeepers aren't doing a lot of writing. So where did this come from, right? Like, did you go to school are you a numbers girl? Or are you a words girl?
I'm a little bit of everything. actually, you know, I was a bookkeeper, but I was in a firm that was very small and grew larger. So initially, there was like four of us in the office, and I was the bookkeeper and the secretary and the receptionist, and gradually grew. So we added people. So writing for business had been a part of my job a lot of times, especially for a small company where I'm writing the marketing things, or I'm writing the contracts and the specs and those types of things. But I never really thought anything of that. You know, I actually
If you would have written a resume, like instead of going on your own, if you would have written a resume at that time, would you have listed writing? Like, did you think enough of your writing skill? That's what I thought. That's what I was getting a sense about you. And, you know, it's so interesting because it's such a transferable skill and you didn't even acknowledge it.
Yeah. It didn't even occur to me as being a skill that, you know, and had no understanding that not everybody was able to pull out words the way that I was.
Exactly. And, you know, the other thing about it is this is where our age comes in, is because back in the day when we were first picking schools and what we wanted to study or what skills we wanted to learn, you're right. When it comes to writing, it's journalists and novelists. And I mean, with technology and the way the world has changed, there are so many opportunities to write that didn't even exist, you know, 20 years ago, probably 10 years ago.
Yeah, the internet is filled with words, words and pictures, isn't it?
So true. Yeah. Okay. So then what happened?
So I found that finding writing work wasn't that difficult, particularly actually, again, my age helped, because with age comes experience.
Oh, yes.
And a variety of knowledge. And so I had knowledge and experience in bookkeeping and business. And a number of different areas, anyways, just general life stuff too, that I could write about. And I found that, you know, just about anything I could, any subject that I knew about, I could find somebody looking for someone to write on that.
Wow, and that's amazing. So it really challenged you to think about your skills and what you had to offer very differently. I bet when you first started, you're thinking, ugh, I know how to be a bookkeeper, and you thought what else you had to offer was small. And now it's like, come on, it's huge.
Yeah. I did take a one-day course from an experienced copywriter who really helped a lot, because he really drew those things out from the small group that was there asking about, what do you know about? Anything you know about, you can write about, you know? And one person said, well, I teach piano lessons. And he says, okay, so you know about music and you know about instruments and you know about lesson planning and you know these different things, and just making us think beyond what we had ever considered of things that we could write about.
I love that so much. Honestly, I can't even tell you how often it's come up between this podcast and interviewing entrepreneurs. And my original podcast, The Women in the Middle, interviewing all kinds of people who were stuck and then became unstuck because they got enough courage to make a big change. This transferable skill thing is a dark hole when it comes to midlife women. We just don't get it. We just don't get it on any level, because we're minimizing how amazing we are. That's the bottom line. You had no idea you were as amazing and talented and skilled at so many things. It's so great.
And so many topics. I mean, something as simple as parenthood, you know, or selling or buying a house, those different things. When I first started writing, a lot of the topics were very simple like that. They were the lists of 10 of, you know, 10 ways to keep your toddler busy.
You're right. You wouldn't even think that was a skill, but it's something you spent years doing.
Yeah. So a lot of the things that I wrote about, I didn't have to research per se. It was just life skills and life topics that you could write down and just had to be able to communicate them well.
Wow. That's great. So all of a sudden you're appreciating high school English. Taught you how to write some basic stuff, and now you're rocking and rolling with it. That's great. So you said it wasn't that hard to find work. That's fascinating to me, because one of the things that challenges so many entrepreneurs is to understand a new network. So how did you find that network?
Google is my friend.
The Google is your friend. Absolutely. So that, and the other thing with writing now is that it doesn't matter where you live. And back in the day, like I remember in my last J-O-B job, I was creating a children's book and I was working with an illustrator. And the illustrator pointed that out to me, that back in the day, he needed to submit artwork in person. And now with technology to communicate files and images and whatever, it didn't matter where you where you live. So it's both an opportunity and also it increases competition. So I'm sure, was that something that came up for you too?
Yes, definitely. You're definitely dealing, especially with writing, with an international market out there, both for your clients and your competition. And that scares some people away. They're like, how am I going to compete with somebody from the Philippines or India or whatever? And I found that really wasn't an issue, that there are clients for them and there are clients for me. There are clients that, you know, it was important to them that it be someone from the U.S. who had native English speaking, and there's others that doesn't matter. So I really, people shied out, you know, and still do shy away from some of the sites where they can get good paying work because they see the low bids that are going out. And I just tell them that doesn't matter. You really don't pay any attention to that. I actually got my first work was on bid sites like Upwork.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to step on you when you were talking.
That's all right.
So would you say it's not so much about relationship building when it comes to getting leads for work? Or is it still a lot of the bidding sites and a lot of the relationship stuff?
It depends on a lot on where you're at in your career and whether or not you have a specialty. Those things figure in. For when I was first starting out and really had, at that time, it was 2010, I didn't have anybody to guide me. So I was shooting in the dark. And it took me, you know, a while to figure those things out and to get the right clients. But I found that it was still on my communication skill. If I could communicate to them that I knew what they wanted and I could provide it and why I would be the one they would want to hire, then I was getting hired. And once I got hired, then I had that chance to prove myself. And I just kept doing that.
Well, I'm finding your story delightful, I have to say, because it sounds to me like you're an accidental successful entrepreneur. Am I right?
I didn't plan, and I planned it just for, you know, I want to work from home. That was cool, be able to replace my income and work from home. But things changed actually really fast. Within a month after I quit my job and went full time, I had situations where I had clients coming back and say, well, I have this project for you and I have this project for you. And I had too many at once, you know, and then do I tell them they have to wait? I didn't want to do that. Why would they wait for me? They go find somebody else. But I developed this network of writers that I'd connected with and just in the writing the poetry and those types of things. And so I called on them. I says, does somebody want to help me out this week? I've got a little more than I can do. And so sure, somebody came on board and helped me get through that. And a few weeks later, I needed some again. And it just kept happening.
Oh
and
my
pretty
God.
Soon I had more than one person helping me out because it was just...
Now what's pretty soon? Because in a month, it's already a problem. So pretty soon, how fast are we talking about here?
Within 5 months, I had several friends helping me.
Wow. Okay. I'm surprised. I mean, that I think that's kind of unusual, don't you?
Well, I think people don't think to do that. They don't think of, well, I could hire somebody else to help me out through the high things. And, you know, when I don't need them, then I don't need them, right? They're not my employee. They're freelance. I've got extra work for you. I'll call on you, see if you're available. That's what I was doing. And like I said, yeah, I think a lot of people, it doesn't occur to them to do that. Especially if you have the mindset that other writers are your competition. And I did not have that.
Why didn't you have that? Come on, Kathleen. Why didn't you have that? Because you're so new to it? Because your identity wasn't I'm a writer?
Actually, no. I think it was because of my time spent with the writers in the year or two ahead of that. They had been so supportive. Everybody was helping each other out in a very positive way. And here's this, you know, here's how you do this. My first magazine writing article, it was because another writer said, how I have the email to the editor for that magazine. Here, I'll do an introduction. And I've just found that to be very true across the writing world. People do not see each other as competition.
This is cool. I have to say, you're an accidental writing business success story, like as an entrepreneur. So you say that you're mostly retired from the business now, but it continues to provide you with an income, and you're servicing clients who are primarily digital marketing firms and website designers. So tell me about how you made that decision and when you first started to shift into this new phase.
Well, it's been a gradual thing. I mean, as my business grew, I have to say about a year into it, suddenly I realized, oh, I have a team. And
I accidentally am building the structure to scale my business.
But I had to start, as a bookkeeper, I started looking at my numbers and I'm like, I'm not making more money. I mean, my revenue is up here, but my profit hasn't changed. That's not what I want. So I made some adjustments there in how I structured my finances and how I approached my business. And that allowed me to grow more. And as I grew, I found then all of a sudden I'm doing all this admin work, which now I'm getting paid for. But I would like to do some writing too. That's what I was in here for. So then I started looking for help on the administrative side. And that was challenging. I tried hiring a couple of VAs just offline. Didn't work out too well. Tried a friend. She tried real hard, but it just wasn't cutting it. And finally, I hired my sister. And she has been awesome. I think partly because she's not afraid to challenge me and ask questions or, you know, tell me, I don't think this is the right way to do it. And so she became my part-time project manager and allowed me to move back more into a writing role. And I promoted myself as a specialist. My team still handled my marketing clients, but I specialized in custom website copywriting and was able to charge a lot higher rate and had a lot of fun with that. And my sister became more and more comfortable with leading the team. And so I started gradually taking on less work and leaving more up for her to run things. And last year, I finally was like, okay, I'm 65. I want to see if I can step out of this and just let her run it and not be writing at all. And I knew that would decrease my income, but still the company would continue to bring in. My actual biggest concern was that I would miss it, that I would be bored. I liked what I was doing. I liked business and I liked being involved. And so that was a big concern for me.
So what did it mean for you to turn 65? Because I've talked to a lot of people and not everybody's under 65. So for you, what was going on? I know somewhere in our notes, you mentioned caring and supporting aging parents. So was it the other things in your life that were becoming bigger, or what was happening?
That was part of it. Part of it was my husband had been retired for a number of years. He retired actually quite early. And so we had already had to work through that transition of, yes, you're retired. I'm not.
Exactly.
But we worked through that. But yes, it's parents were aging. His mom passed away. And then in the last few years, my dad was declining. And in 2019, I think it was, his dad and my dad both had strokes and had to move out of their homes. And so really needed our support a lot more. So that was a big thing. Taking time for that. And, you know, so that helped slow down of work and saying, okay, I need to focus on other areas to work with our siblings and supporting them. So that was a big thing. And then we also have grandkids that are growing up, and some of them live in California and some of them live in Iowa, and we love to spend time with them, which I had always done. Even as a freelancer, I had that ability to work remotely, but the ability to go and not work was a lot more fun.
So is Iowa drivable to where you are in Minnesota, or are all those things flights?
No, Iowa is drivable. It's between 5 and 6 hours to my daughter's house down there.
So either way, it's an effort to travel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still going to take time out.
And did that all coincide with turning 65? We're so conditioned to think about 65. So I was just wondering what you made.
Yeah. No, the age really didn't have that much to do for it. For me, I was enjoying what I was doing. But as, you know, things, more, you know, changes in life circumstances had me really considering, okay, is now the time for me to step out and let the company take care of itself and take time for doing the things that I keep putting off and saying someday.
Yeah.
Someday is here.
You mentioned something that I have heard some other people talk about a little bit, is when one person in the marriage is retired or retiring and the other person isn't. So one's gearing up and one's gearing down. And you hinted that that was, you know, a worthy transition, a notable transition.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what was the main lesson you learned about that and how to support but not be sucked in?
My husband would say, she told me to go get a life.
So he had some work to do in that regard.
Well, he had to figure out what is this going to look like for me? What do I do with my time now? And finding out that, you know, he couldn't just call on me to, oh, let's go to lunch or whatever. And I'm like, well, let me look at my calendar. And so that was, and me being more before, and I'm working at home, but no problem because there's nobody there. But when there's somebody there, and then it's having to figure out those boundaries of saying, okay, you can't just come in and chat whenever you feel like it. There are times when I need to be focused on what I'm doing and in him learning to understand that and be supportive of that. But we worked it out. But
yeah, I mean, it takes time. A lot of, certainly not all, but I have heard plenty of people say that their husbands didn't have the social network ready made and ready to go.
Right. Especially because he retired early. That was actually harder for him. Mm-hmm. Now, right now, almost, you know, everybody else that he, his friends are also retired, but he retired much closer to 60. And so a lot of his friends were still working.
Interesting. Yeah.
And so that was a particular challenge. But then he didn't just stop working. He found part-time things that he enjoyed doing and kept him a little busier. So
that's great. So you said in your notes that the big question that's really weighing on you is what this next phase looks like, this transition, because you're in charge. You yes. can go slowly. You can make it a fast transition. You can dip your toe in. You can do whatever you want. So some of the questions you have asked are, what happens when my business manager decides to retire or no longer can manage the business for me? Do I sell the business? Is there someone else who can fill those big shoes? If I have a significant loss in my client revenue, do I step in and pursue new clients, or do I allow the business to gradually diminish? So would yeah. you say, as I'm looking at you, you look like, oh my God, this is a lot. Yeah. Like, yeah. Are you, is it a constant source of spin?
Well, it's something I have been looking at the different angles. So I have talked to a couple of different financial advisors about what it looks like to sell a business of my type and my size. What, you know, what would I get from that versus if it stays going longer, you know, if I sell it, then yes, I'm going to get considerable amount, but once that's paid off, then that's done. Where the longer it can keep going, providing the income that it does for me is the optimal. So I've also been talking to, I have a daughter who works in the business, and would she be willing and able to transition? At this point in her life, she's thinking that's a possibility, but will she still feel that way in 2 years? Life changes.
Yeah.
And so I'm still kind of keeping my options open, looking to see what happens in the next year or two before making such a decision. But it's going to impact our finances, definitely, and what involvement I still have with the business.
Well, you raised a very interesting question or observation when I asked in our notes about what was most surprising for you about being a woman over 50 and being an entrepreneur. And you noted that it was a very a positive surprise that the opportunities as a business owner are much broader and long lasting than if you were an employee at this stage yes. of life. So can you comment a little bit about that? Like, are you noticing yeah. things with your friends?
Yes, I've definitely, you know, I know some people who have lost jobs, even in my own, actually, the job I'd been at for over 20 years, I was laid off in 2008 in the accounting department, even though I was the one who had been there the longest and I had trained most of the others there. And the only reason, honestly, that I can point to was because I was the oldest person. I didn't make the most. There wasn't that. So, because that's what people mostly assume. And I said, no, I don't think so. I think I have a shorter shelf life.
I did interview somebody on the other podcast, Women in the Middle, about ageism in the workplace. Yeah. So yeah. It's interesting because you're right. Even though you're an accidental entrepreneur, you're seriously successful entrepreneur. So it came to you kind of so organically and yeah. sweet. That's why I use the word delightful, because I think your story is just so cute the way you're so unassuming and, you know, and you steered the ship. into a lovely business, very successful, hiring family, thinking about succession, doing what you love. And then when it was becoming too administration focused, you figured that out. Really, really fun for me to hear. It really is. And now to see that, yes, as an entrepreneur, it doesn't have to be the booby prize if you get laid off. It can be the gift you couldn't give yourself.
Absolutely. I mean, and I've seen, I had a friend who went back to school and got her master's at, you know, around that age, around her 50s, and getting a job she found was very, very difficult. And a lot she felt was because here she's coming in her 50s and here come these 20 somethings and they're looking at, well, by the time we get you up to speed, you're going to be about ready to retire. You know, and maybe, you know, looking at as an older person, you might be expecting or needing a higher rate of pay. There's a lot of different things that figure into somebody employing somebody, where if you're building a business, people actually age is a positive thing. People look at you and say, oh, they're experienced, whether, you know, where a 22-year-old comes in and says, I'm your copywriter, there might be more hesitation for somebody.
Yeah, very interesting. So with all of your success, what would you say is your biggest age and stage-related challenge today in your business?
Probably concerns about potential health or other types of unexpected.
Yeah,
it's a bigger concern, especially as I've stepped out of the business and, okay, if something happens, like I said, to my business manager or to myself, and who's gonna take charge of this and the decision. So definitely putting some things in place, talking to lawyers and making sure that the company has a path to go.
Right.
Something drastic happens.
Right. So that the part that we can't control. So you can control maintaining consistency and coming up with a plan as long as everything's okay. And if something's not okay, you need to figure that out and work out your choices. Well, one of the things that I know you feel strongly about because you're walking the walk is that your business can operate without you.
Yes.
Even though that might be hard to believe. For an entrepreneur. It really can.
It can, and you can actually enjoy time. It was something that, like I said, I was concerned about, that I would really miss the challenge and the involvement. But yeah, the company is running well. I have good people in place. And I have found that I really enjoy sleeping in.
The mornings are much better when they're relaxed.
Much slower, you know. I'm not, gotta check my email and see what's happening today. You know, what fire do I have to put out? And pursuing some of the things that I haven't for years and years. I started painting, which I used to do when I was younger. Oh. And really enjoying that, and going and visiting friends. And there's even been once or twice when I didn't bring my laptop with me.
No.
Which was, you know, my husband would tell you, she didn't go anywhere without that.
Oh, my gosh. So you were
laptop, you know.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, Kathleen, how can people get in touch with you? You know, because you have an awesome business. They might not see you, but you have an awesome business.
Yeah. Well, my business is called Crafter of Words. So you can find me at crafterofwords.com. I also have a personal website, KathleenKruger.com, which talks more about, I have some books that I've written and my art and some more of my personal endeavors.
Oh, that's so cool. And that's Kruger, K-R-U-E-G-E-R, Kathleen Kruger, Kathleen with a K, Kruger with a K. That is amazing. Kathleen, thank you so much for taking the time to share your story about being an accidental successful entrepreneur. I really appreciate how thoughtful you are about the rest of your journey into retirement and beyond, and navigating the way through it, like just the way you really broke it down as to what's really going on in your life. Thank you so much for that. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people are really going to relate.
Thanks, Susie.
I totally love what you're doing. And that's a great way to end. So that's it for now. If you're listening and loving what you hear, please like and subscribe. Reviews are great too and much appreciated. And if you're a woman in the middle who's 50 or over and an entrepreneur and would like to come on the show, please go to www.midlifeinterviews.com and fill out an application. We'd love to have you on to share your story. So thanks so much for listening. It's never too late for you to put yourself first and for you to put yourself on your agenda. I'm Susie Rosenstein, and I'll talk to you again soon. Now, real quick before we say goodbye, if you are connecting with the show, I'd love to invite you to a happiness breakthrough coaching session. It's my laser-focused coaching call that will help you get clear about what's getting in your way as a woman in the middle entrepreneur and confident about your next steps to more happiness in your next chapter. Head over to www.nextchapterbreakthrough.com. Talk to you soon. Oh,